Hello and welcome to Talking Europe. Ukraine's ammunition shortages, its loss of Avdiivka to Russian forces, and the prospect of a Donald Trump victory in the US election has focused minds here in Brussels. Various proposals are on the table for upgrading EU defence and the way it's financed. My guest is one of Ukraine's most vocal supporters in the European Union, Prime Minister Kaja Kallas of Estonia, and she has been put on a wanted list in Russia over the destruction or removal of Soviet-era monuments in Estonia. Kaja Kallas has led her country since January 2021, and in November of last year, she signalled her interest in the top job at NATO, which becomes available in a few months from now. Prime Minister, thank you so much for being on the programme.
Thank you for having me.
And thanks for hosting us at this permanent representation of your country, Estonia, to the European Union. You were in Germany in the last few days, and you've been talking about this idea of euro bonds to help with defence spending to help Ukraine. How did they take this idea of euro bonds in Germany?
Well, my ideas are open to discussion, so I'm not really stuck to them. We have to find a solution to the problem. And what is the problem? Problem is that Europe is not investing enough in defence, and we can't also engage the new vibrant tech sector because all the funds are closed for lethal equipment. So we definitely have to, invest more in defence. The countries do not have the money separately. This is the crisis that we need to settle now, and it is better when we do this together, like we did in COVID.
So the idea is pooling bonds rather than have individual European countries issuing bonds.
Exactly, because that is, has a bigger impact.
But, of course, in Germany, anything that sounds like the Greek debt crisis is not very popular. So at the moment, apart from the support of France and the European Council President Charles Michel, have you had other political forces in Europe or countries that have come on board with this idea?
Well, people at least open to discuss because everybody understands that we have a problem in Europe. We have to do more to our own defence and also in order to help Ukraine. We have a hot war going on the European soil, if you think the war in Ukraine is in Europe. So all the countries have to do more. But it's not that countries are sitting on top of the funds that they don't otherwise use. No, they don't have those funds. So we have to raise the capital outside. And it will be cheaper for everybody when we do this together. And it will be also, have a bigger impact if we do this together, like we did in COVID.
You mentioned aligning the tech sector. That's something that doesn't get talked about very much. How would you proceed on that?
We have a very vibrant tech sector in Estonia, very innovative. We have most startups per capita, and they are thinking along the lines. There is clear need for, boosting the defense industry, and they are very aware of how to raise capital. But all the funds, private funds, are closed to investments to defense. So there is a clear obstacle in the market. At the same time, we hear from the old defense industry, who's not moving that fast, that they want to do the things that they have done so far. But we see what is working in Ukraine, and that is also the new technology. So if we could take the minds and ideas of the vibrant tech sector and also the defense industry, put them together, then we could actually have a big impact so that we could also end this war.
You have, as I said in the in my introduction, expressed an interest in becoming the next NATO Secretary General. Anything you can tell us about that? What's the latest?
Well, again, the question that the journalist asked me was that, would you like to be considered? And I said, yes, I would like to be considered. But I was never considered, so that is the end of story.
It's completely the end of the story.
Well, the majority of countries have supported Rutte. Now is a new candidate, Klaus Johannes, is also there. So we have to discuss and find a solution by the summit.
let's put it in slightly broader terms then. Should the next Secretary General of NATO be from, let's say, Poland or one of the three Baltic countries?
We have had a Secretary General from the North, or two of them. We have had a Secretary General from the West and the Center Europe. We have had a Secretary General from the South. We have never had a Secretary General from the East.
And you mentioned Mark Rutte there. There's been more than one Dutch head of NATO as well.
Three of them, so he's going to be the fourth.
This is probably just speculation in the press, but your name has been mentioned in connection with two other possible jobs. One is this future defence commissioner that's going to be created in the next European Commission, probably. And the other is possibly as a successor to Josep Borrell, the head of the EU chief for foreign and security policy. Would you be interested in either of those?
Well, this is very flattering that my name has been circulating, but I have a job, and that is Prime Minister of Estonia. So I'm not actively seeking any new job.
Right, it's because you were given a new mandate just a year ago in last
yes.
April. So, but you'd consider it if something was offered and leaving your mandate early?
Then I have to think about this. So as I said about NATO, I was never put in a position where I had to think about this. So, you know, this might also be the case in the European top job.
I said also at the start that you are on this wanted list in Russia. Is it clear what the charges are exactly? And also, could you be arrested somewhere outside Russia? I mean, you're obviously not going there yourself.
Yeah, if the first thing to make a pivot to the last topic, why they're coming out with this, I mean, Russia is really trying to prevent me being in any or being a real candidate in any top jobs because, you know, she's too hawkish or too against Russia. And then they're showing that, you know, yes, we put her on the list. So she's definitely on the list for us so that to kill the name from these lists. And now the question is whether we give them that much power or we don't. Now, the second thing is when we come, they also want to signal that, you know, Estonia is not the real country. Because if you think about the acquisition, it is about their domestic laws that don't apply in Estonia. But, you know, showing that, you know, they were the masters of our land when they occupied us for 50 years, they want to signal that this is still the case.
But isn't there a difference, though, between removing a monument to a leader like Stalin or Lenin and removing something that represents ordinary soldiers?
It doesn't. I mean,
they were just fighting Nazi Germany, the ordinary soldiers.
No, the monuments are tearing the wounds within our society. And the monument was a tank. It was a tank, the same tank that is killing people in Ukraine right now as we speak. And it is clearly pointed towards Estonia. It's a Russian tank. And it was very disturbing to Estonians. And at least also we asked in the polls, we also asked the Russian-speaking minority. And they said that remove them. We don't want any clashes within our society because of the historical wounds that were opened because of the war in Ukraine.
But there are also, to be fair, some other voices in the Russian-speaking communities in Estonia who say that perhaps some of the actions of your government have just increased a gap between ethnic Estonians and ethnic Russians or the descendants of Russians who moved to Estonia, that it just increases the suspicion.
That is not true, because we just had a poll and the state identity of the people in Estonia, both Estonian speakers as well as Russian speakers, is very, very strong. Among the Russian-speaking minority, it was 83% that identified itself with Estonia and saying that, you know, this is what we are. I mean, we might have a different history, but we have a common future and let's concentrate on that.
But when you look at the education reforms, so making Estonian compulsory from early classes, I mean, I know obviously that's aimed at integrating people, but some have seen this as somehow an attack on their identity. Whatever your government says, that's how it's... If we're talking about how some people are feeling about it.
Well, this is... you are just saying hypothetically. We have the polls that Russian parents support a one language education system because they understand that in Estonian education language... Estonian language education system, they get a better education. And then they get to go to universities, they get to have better jobs if they also speak Estonian. So Russian-speaking parents are very strong supporters of that reform.
Just one final question, Prime Minister, on the European elections. And I wondered what you think about the fortunes of your bloc here in Brussels, Renew Europe. If we look at the latest polls, it's not looking that good for Renew, and some of the populist forces like the ECR seem to be overtaking Renew.
That is true. The Liberals are not doing that well that we did in the last European elections. But it's still, 2 months to go until the final results, so everybody should get their act together and work for a better result.
We'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much for being my guest, Prime Minister Kaja Kallas of Estonia. And that's all for part one of Talking Europe. I'll be back in part two with my panel of MEPs in the European Parliament in Brussels.